Wow.
Yeah.
That was condensed.
Right.
So, Scott Kaplan, yesterday
yeah.
you told us mm-hmm. that you were having some issues
mm-hmm.
on the home front, let's just mm-hmm. call it.
Yeah, I kind of hinted at it. I sort of intimated it. I'm not sure I unloaded details on you, but yeah, you're right.
How are those issues going?
I don't know. I don't think so great, to be honest with you.
Mm.
I don't think so great. Because you know what happened is we had a conversation yesterday about Valentine's Day upcoming, right? Super Bowl
yep.
Sunday, mm-hmm. Valentine's Day Monday, right?
Yeah. Yep.
You said that your wife and the reason you married
doesn't
her,
care. Doesn't
right.
care.
So last night I go to dinner with my girlfriend. I say to her, I say, hey, listen, you know, we were having this conversation on the air today. I kind of wanted to just run this by you. I said, you know, we've been together 3 years, but Valentine's Day, the first year, you know, nothing really going on because I don't remember where I was. The second year I was in Miami for the Super Bowl. I go, you're not like really a hardcore Valentine's Day person, are you? And she looked at me and she said, it's not me. It's you. You're just not very romantic.
Oh, and damn.
I know, George. And it hurt me, man. It hurt me because I guess it's kind of true. I don't really think of myself as a romantic type per se. But like I always show up every week with a bouquet of flowers, like every week without fail. I will show up with a bouquet of flowers. I walk in. It puts a big smile on her face. So I kind of think of that as being like somewhat romantic, isn't it?
Somewhat. Yeah, somewhat.
I'll take all advice here, guys. I will take all advice on Valentine's Day and what should or should not be done, because now I'm feeling an immense amount of pressure.
Well, I think you need to talk to, like, Lauren Lindsay here more than me, to be frank with you. You know, maybe even the audience, to be honest, can help you. Because, I mean, that's a pretty, like, blunt way of saying it. And, you know, I'm guessing she's saying it because it's probably fairly true.
It wasn't just you're not romantic. It was followed up with this. This is going to get ugly. You ready for what she said after that?
Yeah, what'd she say?
She said, but I'm used to it by now.
Oh, damn, dog!
God. Oh, my God. I'm like, why don't you just tell me it's done? Just put me out of my misery right now. Send
wow.
me home. You know what I mean? Kick
I
me
mean,
out.
I listen, that's pretty whack, is
it
what
is
I would say.
It is kind of wacky, isn't it?
Yeah. Laura?
But is it
Lindsay? I mean, feel free to jump in here.
Well, Laura is not here today.
Yeah,
lost that. Oh, it's Briones. I'm yeah. sorry. Yeah,
straight
yeah, my
to the
bad.
White meat, though, man. Damn.
But, I mean, if she said that you're not romantic and you mm-hmm. said that you show up every week with a bouquet of flowers, I feel like those two things don't make sense.
Well, I mean,
because most guys don't even put in, I know, but most guys don't even put in that much effort, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm trying, man. I mean, I'm trying to do my, you know, listen, I acknowledge it. You know, I may not be the biggest romantic in the world, you know?
Oh, no, now wait a second. Now you're changing things up here a little bit. Are you romantic or are you not romantic, bro? Because I ain't going to put her out there and, you know, like take a shot at her if you aren't that romantic. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I don't really think I'm like that romantic, you know?
Okay.
Like, I thought like flowers once a week, I thought that was kind of a romantic thing. That's like a thoughtful thing to do, you know?
Well, I mean, is that as far as the conversation went? Did you say like, well, what would you like to do? Did you say what kind of, do you like jewelry? Do you like flowers? Do you like candy?
Yeah.
Do you want to go
to
dinner?
That's a great question. Where did you go from there from the conversation with your girlfriend?
I think I may have tried to turn the conversation in a different direction, maybe.
That's probably not the way to do it. I mean,
right,
did she seem annoyed or perturbed when she saw it, brought it up like that? Or
kind of, yeah, because I was like, hey, you know, George and I were having this conversation. He was saying that Kelly really doesn't love Valentine's Day and that, you know, she's a really smart, rational person, so she doesn't want
to. Oh, no, but why did you throw that in there? Like, you know what I'm saying?
Well,
now you're making – see, this is what's happening. Correct me if I'm wrong here, Lindsay and Briones. Now you're making it seem like she – when you say that, George is saying that Kelly doesn't like Valentine's Day. It's not that she doesn't like it. I just said she doesn't care for it. Like, it's not, like, the biggest deal for her. And then you – when you say because she's rational about it, that's implying that Rachel is not rational about it.
I was trying to imply that she is also rational. No, I was trying to imply, hey, you're also, like, a really rational person, and you're really smart when it comes to finance and all that kind of – you know, because she's a CPA.
Those things aren't equated, bro.
I know, and I tried.
Listen,
I think,
one thing you need to understand is don't ever compare. That
never.
Is like the worst thing you can do. You never ever compare.
I mean,
you or her to anyone else. Don't ever.
No
do
one
that.
Taught. No one taught you that like 25 years ago.
Don't compare things.
People.
Women,
you can't compare people.
Oh, Well, I did hear that one time from Jim Harbaugh when we asked him once to compare two players. Like, hey, what's the difference between this guy and that guy? He said, you know, I don't compare players because that means I'm putting one guy up and one guy down. And I guess I didn't follow that advice because I guess it seemed like I was putting somebody up and somebody down, I guess, is the case.
Yes.
So I don't know what I'm going to do for Valentine's Day. Today's Tuesday, and it's on Monday. And now, like I said, I'm feeling this immense pressure. I got to come up with something. You know, I don't know if it's a gift. I don't know if it's a place, if it's a dinner, if it's a card. That, you know what, George? Now that you mention it, that's another thing. She's like, well, you know, you don't exactly put your feelings down on cards or anything. Like holidays, you don't really, like, you know, write cards, or you don't come in with like all kinds of sincere feelings and stuff. So I think maybe a handwritten, I can't even read my own handwriting. A handwritten note would be a really nice romantic thing.
Yeah,
you guys,
I mean,
think
that
so?
that's a nice start, I think. You know, Brionis, you've been married for a long time now. What do you think? I guess Brionis.
Yeah, Brionis.
Sorry. This thing was disconnected. Scott, I think you had a case of, what do you guys call this? Scotteria yesterday,
yeah,
at dinner. Like, when you start comparing that, like, I've done that with Brenna. She's like, you just got to stop. Like, you did not just say, I'm just like this woman or whatever. So you should have just, you know, kept on or ordered something else if you guys were having dinner.
Yeah. Right. Oh, hey, can I get another glass of wine over here, please? I'm going to need that right now. Hurry up, please. Bring that over here.
Yeah,
that was a bad idea. Yeah, I just keep digging a deeper hole. I keep putting my foot in my mouth around my...
Are you afraid of this woman?
Oh, petrified. I mean, of all women. My daughters, my ex-wife, my girlfriend, petrified of all of them. They own me.
So the look kept you talking then. She gave you the look and you just kept talking and talking.
I was babbling, you know what I mean? I was just...
Oh, no, we know.
Yeah, I know you guys do. Yeah, just kept babbling. Well, but George's wife doesn't really
you
think it's a big
babble?
Deal.
Babble? Never? Yeah, that's like the worst thing you could say is, well, so-and-so's wife. Like, don't ever say that again.
Never do that. And you didn't even, like, depict it properly on top of that. You know what I'm saying? Like, why do we talk to you about these things?
I don't know, but I need help. Now I'm in a borderline state of emergency, everybody. Okay?
I mean, it's that bad? I mean, it is pretty bad the way she said you're not really that romantic. And then what was the other... And then I'm used to it. Ooh, nah,
yeah.
That's
hurt.
Like, that was like a left jab and like a right hook. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, boom, boom. You know, like.
Yeah. Yeah. You're not romantic. And and I'm used to it. When those things happened, I was like, oh my God, I'm in big trouble here tonight, pal.
Yeah. Maybe Kurt Warner can help you out at 4:30 when he comes up.
Kurt Warner is probably a very romantic guy. And, you know, he's been married for a long time and he's got a whole bunch of kids and he's got what seems to be like a great life. And my goodness, when you have a movie made about you that has just become a big, big success story and a huge hit, this movie, American Underdog. Mm-hmm. Maybe Kurt Warner has some romantic Valentine's Day advice. Yeah, he'll be here at 4:30.
Yeah, maybe he can help you because right now it's just not looking good for you, bro.
No, it's not.
Well, we can open it up to the audience, Brionis. If people want to call in, 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-3776. Kaplan needs advice. He basically was told the truth, and he didn't like what he saw in the mirror when they showed the mirror up against his face.
Well, you're not joking, man. You're not joking. It's not just the bad haircut that I got a couple weeks ago.
Well, you got a bad haircut, too?
Well, the woman, I told her, I said, I have this, like, little widow's peak thing, like a little Eddie Munster thing.
Oh, yeah, I remember. And you, like, kind of shaved it, but now it looks like your hairline's even further back.
Right. She actually waxed it, and she went back by about 2 centimeters too far, and so now my hairline... Is like 2 centimeters when it comes to your hairline is you know, it's a big problem. As a matter of fact, back to the girlfriend for a second, you know what she said to me? She goes, I don't know a guy on the planet that wants to have, you know, hair on the top of his head removed. All guys want to have more hair, not less hair. She goes, and you had her wax that? Yeah, it's a bad look.
I mean, she's right about that. There's no question. I don't know what the hell you were thinking when you were doing that.
I don't know why, but this little Eddie Munster widow's peak thingy was just driving me up a wall. But now I had her wax it, and now I'm like Simon and Garfunkel. I think I'm like Garfunkel. My head, my hairline sits way, way, way back, and then it puffs up, you know? Mm-hmm. And so now instead of a forehead, it's a 5-head, and it's very embarrassing, you know? And I'm very self-conscious about it, as you can imagine. So I'm pulling
my hair down.
And you're
not romantic. Down. There's that part, too.
Right. I'm bald and unromantic.
Yeah,
I'm,
that's a
I'm
terrible
combination. 2 centimeters bald.
Terrible combination. I don't even know what to tell you, to be honest with you.
I don't know, but I'm going to start formulating some thoughts here real quick.
Yeah.
I'm going to start putting them down on paper. I'm going to write them all down, and then I'm going to try. I'm going to probably have to rewrite it because I don't know about you guys. I never write anything on paper. So my handwriting, if I have to write something now, is completely you can't read it. It's like a doctor on a prescription. You know what I mean? Cannot read my handwriting.
Right. You're in trouble, bro.
Yeah, I think this is.
Do your kids like her?
Yes.
Okay, then yeah, you're in real trouble because you can't even go to them for like some solace. You know what I mean?
Right. I know they're gonna just side with her anyway.
Right. Yeah.
I don't know. Well, I'll take any advice. I'll take any help. It doesn't matter if you call the show, tweet me, DM me, however you need to get a hold of me. If you're a very romantic dude out there, okay, and you get a lot of compliments, oh, you're so romantic, share with those of us that are not as romantic.
So Chris Camello tweets us and says, Cap, you may need to pull a full Peter Griffin from, he's never watched Family Guy, so he doesn't really know what we're talking about, and hire Peter Frampton to do a private Valentine's Day show to sing Baby, I Love Your Way.
That is a great idea. It doesn't have to be Peter Frampton. It can be somebody else.
One of your cover bands can sing something for her.
I could hire a musician.
Yes.
Who is not involved in a relationship on Valentine's Day to come over and completely shock her by having a guitar player walk in. Or how about this, George? Somebody plays the guitar and I do the singing.
Can you sing?
I mean, you know. I mean, you hear me.
Not really.
That's a terrible idea. Don't leave the singing to a professional.
Yeah, but don't you think it's heartfelt and romantic?
No, not when you can't carry a tune.
Yeah.
Maybe, like, write her a song and have someone else sing it, but I don't know. I don't think you have time for that.
Yeah, I mean, writing a song.
Getting into
song,
crunch time.
Right. Right. Can't really write a poem, you know?
Why not?
I don't know. I mean, I just don't have
that. How about a haiku?
Haiku, no, probably also, probably not. Probably not.
I mean, haiku is a little easier than a whole poem. You know what I mean? Like, so.
You know what? I said it like I don't know how to do a haiku, but I don't even think I know what a haiku really is.
Yeah, a haiku is, it consists of three lines, five syllables in the first line, seven in the second, and five in the third.
5-7-5?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Think about that.
Well, let me go to Zoe in Pasadena. Is it Zoe?
Yeah. I think, George, I agree with Lindsay. You already did more than you should because you spoiled her over already. And I think if my brother heard what you're doing, you're ruining it for the guys. Because I guess it seems like she's a bit high maintenance. If you're buying her flowers every week and you're busy the last two Valentine's, you didn't get her anything. I think as female, we should be understanding. But you giving her flowers every week, you kind of dug your own grave already because now she's going to expect more. I don't know.
Maybe she I'm a week great. Behind on flowers. Maybe that's
you
the
set
problem.
The bar very high.
I just remember a friend of mine told me that he was very happily married for about 35 years. And he said literally every single Monday he brought his wife flowers. And I was married at the time and I went, what? You're married. And he's like, yeah. He goes, but I'm telling you, it makes her happy. So every time I walk in with flowers, it's an automatic smile. It's a big thank you. You know, you cut the stems and you put them in the vase and you put water in and then you sit them out and, you know, they smell good. And the whole week goes by. Look at how they opened up and they smell great. And it's a great gift. But I thought that was a romantic thing. Guess I'm wrong.
Yeah.
Little did I know.
Yeah, apparently. Just a haiku, though. We can work on that for you. What do you think?
How about this? Instead of working on it together, how about you just write it for me and I'll read it?
All right. I found one on the internet. It says, I promise to love. That's the first line. It's pretty good, right? Next line is, your wild hair in the morning, if you'll kiss me. Does she have wild hair in the morning?
Not really. I mean,
All right. Then that won't work.
You know, you should invoke the services of one Michael Thompson. I feel like he would be great. He's great at like writing these poems and rhyme things.
Yeah.
But I know he left, but maybe tomorrow, ask him since he'll be there tomorrow too, ask him if he could help you write a poem or a haiku.
I'm gonna text Michael Thompson and ask him if he could just text me back a haiku.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
Here's one. Strokes of affection, light and tenderly expressed, keeps love's bonds so strong.
Yeah, I don't like that one.
Okay.
I don't love that one.
How about this one? Yellow flame flickers, shadows dance upon the wall. Love grows ever strong.
That one was kind of weird.
She's going to be like, you didn't write that. And I'm going to be like, you're right. I found it on the internet.
Yeah, well, actually, George found it on the internet.
Right, right. George, whose wife doesn't really care that much about Valentine's Day, found that on the internet and then gave it to me.
All right, Chris in Sherman Oaks. Chris, what do you got?
So, Cap, let's give her the benefit of doubt for a minute, right? So if she's taking the time to tell you, but I've gotten used to it, maybe she's comfortable enough to with you to let you know how she feels, all right? Now, if she's doing that, then it's your turn to pick up the pace. Now, don't do flowers every single week. Change it up a little bit. She's mad enough at you right now, where I think this whole writing thing, I think maybe, what's the first thing she reaches into in the refrigerator?
Great question. I'm going to say, like, snacky stuff. Hummus and carrots. Okay, go ahead. Now what?
Great. So take a post-it note on either that hummus or that carrot, and not one of these high cues that we're hearing, high cues, but just, you know, a couple letters, and then hint at another thing that she likes, right? And then send her off on a little trail and have the last one be on Valentine's Day, even though you may not be around.
Okay. What do you think?
See, we're getting creative now. This gentleman right here is a romantic guy. Now, have you ever done this, sir?
Cap, I do. Yes, I do. I've been married for 6 years. I actually tell it to all the other dads on my podcast, Real Dad Talk. Mm-hmm. And it's this whole idea of taking her day that's screwed up, messed up. You don't know where she's coming from. And you got to change it up a little bit for her each and every time. I would send her on some sort of trail. And then the flowers, for example, don't leave it out on the table. Don't hand it to her. Put it on her car. Put it on her seat in her car. Put it in the windshield wiper.
Yeah, surprise her with them. Right, exactly. He's right about this, Chris, and thank you for the call. You got to be like a pitcher with multiple pitches. You can't just keep throwing a fastball all the time, you know? Yeah, right. And I wouldn't even call the roses or the flowers a fastball. I'd say that's more like a changeup, you know? Well, like
I was thinking I need to throw a curveball. You know what I mean? I need a curveball. I need a changeup. I need something.
Yeah, split finger fastball. Yeah.
Right. Something other than just a straight two-seamer, you know?
Yeah. 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 Jody Wadley, a fan of the station as well.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Yeah, shout out to Jody Wantley. What's going on, Jody? How you doing? She likes to listen to 710. She likes to communicate via Twitter. Jody Wantley, what's up?
Maybe Jody Wantley has some advice for you.
Maybe she wants to go out with me.
You sounded really uncool the way that you said all that.
Yeah, really uncool.
She listens to some 710 and communicates on Twitter.
Why was that uncool?
The way it sounded was very broadcastery pukey. It wasn't like your normal voice.
You know, she likes to communicate with me on Twitter, I'll have you know.
Yes.
Okay,
Jody
Mr.
Wildley,
Belding.
Shout out. What
and
up?
You asked her out on a date. That probably is not going to endear yourself to your current girlfriend who thinks you're not romantic at the moment.
Correct. Probably not. Probably not. But I'm thinking about like what Chris just said. You got to start thinking about the future here, you know?
Yeah.
And it's true. It's true. I did say when we were there at Hollywood Park Casino, And Chris was walking around, like, chasing Keyshawn, like, ooh, Keyshawn, Keyshawn. And then I was giving him a hard time about it. I deserve it. It's coming back to me. I deserve it. I can take it. I dish it out. I can take it. I got it. Mm-hmm. It's true. He did. My show.
Hey,
my
is it
show.
Just me or this man still nervous?
Oh, no, he's definitely nervous. Yeah, he's definitely nervous.
Oh, me?
Yeah.
Yeah, well.
Marin, does Rachel ever listen to the show?
Oh, thank God, no. Thank God.
Oh, yeah, thank God.
Thank God, no.
Olvídate.
No, I don't want her listening.
The NBA just announced on TNT their 15 greatest coaches in NBA history.
Yeah.
And do you want to guess how many of them are Lakers coaches?
I will guess one.
No.
Okay, more than one.
Yes.
Okay. He said that so matter of fact. No.
Yeah, how about two?
That is correct.
Five.
No, not five. Think of it. Like, what two coaches, like, resonate with the Lakers if you're thinking all-time greatest coaches?
I think Pat Riley.
Yeah.
And Phil Jackson.
Yeah, that is correct. Do you want to know how many current coaches are on this list? Do you want to take a guess?
I will guess there are three current coaches currently coaching in the NBA on the all-time greatest 15.
You're close. There's four. Can you name the four?
Well, Spoelstra, I'm sure, is on there.
He is, and that to me is a huge surprise, to be honest with you, because he's so young.
Okay. How about Popovich?
Popovich, yes.
Okay. Who else? Let's see. Come on, Lindsay. Help me out here.
I'm thinking.
I know. I got the first two. I got Spoelstra. I got LeBron. Popovich.
LeBron's a great not coach.
Did you say LeBron?
Yeah, he is kind of a coach.
Well, LeBron's team is sub 500 this year. I mean, come on. No, not LeBron.
Hmm.
Although it's a good
Doc
guess.
Rivers. Doc Rivers, maybe? No.
Doc Rivers is on the list, yes.
Really?
Yeah.
Really? Steve Kerr?
Steve Kerr, there you go. That's the fourth one.
Wow. I can't believe we actually pulled this off, Lindsay. Yeah. Wow, great job.
Good job. High five. Teamwork.
Yeah. All right, that's pretty good. I'm pretty impressed with us right now. Feeling pretty good about myself.
Yeah. Yeah, that is impressive. I'm shocked that Eric is on that list. I'm happy for him because I think, you know, I feel like he's the greatest coach in the game at the moment. You know, that's not a shot at Pop. Pop had that run for a really long time. But yeah. And you know, we did our role play, you and me, about Vogel and LeBron. You know, you were very jealous about Spo. So.
That's right. That's right. When I was Frank Vogel and you were LeBron, and LeBron had all these compliments about Eric Spoelstra and how great he is. You know, I'm over here like, yo, what am I? Chopped liver? Did we not win a championship together?
Yeah. Yeah. But you didn't win two.
That's true. That's fair. But it's not over yet, is it?
Yeah.
I guess maybe when I get to
I mean, this year, you don't think it's over this year?
I do.
Yeah, I do too.
I do. But I'm
only leaving like a very small couple of percent chance that like all of a sudden AD and LeBron can both go supernova at the exact same time.
Right. Like there's a part of me that is in denial. I mean, this is not a new thing for me, but there's a part of me that is in denial because again, when I look at LeBron James, when he puts on a uniform, that man is playing for a championship. When Tom Brady puts on a uniform, he's out there playing for a championship. When Tiger Woods puts on the red up top and the black down low on Sundays, he's golfing for a championship. So I still think in my mind, somehow, some way, LeBron is going to be healthy. AD is going to be healthy. They're either going to figure out what to do with Russ or they're going to somehow get him out of this team or he's going to get hurt. Or somehow, some way, something's going to happen that the Lakers still somehow have a chance to go deep into the playoffs. Now, I realize that sounds ridiculous to everybody. I do. Based on what's happened so far this year. But in my mind, I still can't imagine LeBron James 2 years in a row, he's going to be out in the first round. And that's even if they make it at this point.
Well, I think they're going to make it. By the way, O'Shea is texting me. Him and Doc Rivers, not necessarily, there's no love lost between those two. Mm-hmm. He literally wrote me, Doc Rivers, in all caps with question marks and exclamation marks. That is correct. Doc Rivers.
Can you go back to O'Shea and ask him if he
I mean, he's listening, so you can ask him yourself.
O'Shea.
Yeah.
Yo, you got any romance advice for me?
Oh, man. Yeah. I don't know if anyone can help you, but maybe. Maybe. Yeah.
Maybe, O'Shea, you could ask your dad to write up some rhymes for me.
It's not happening.
Why not?
I mean, first of all, his dad's, I'm sure he's a very busy guy. Second of all, it's the week of the Super Bowl that he's about to perform in. And third of all, I saw him like on social media. He's doing all kinds of shoots and stuff getting ready for the Super Bowl. I don't think he has time to write your romance verses. Just say it.
What's his dad doing for the Super Bowl?
I mean, he's part of the LA music scene here. So I saw he's shooting commercial or features, whatever, with NFL Network. So I'm sure he's very busy.
Yeah. Well, O'Shea has responded to your request, Cap. You ready?
He's fast on the text.
Do you want to? I'm going to quote him. Are you ready? Oh,
yeah,
there's
ready.
More. There's there, first he wrote.
Yeah.
And that was it. No,
oh,
there was
that's
bubbles
it?
And yeah.
Really? That's it? Nothing else?
Yeah. Got nothing for you.
Yeah. Come on, man. Help me out.
Yeah. It's got nothing. Oh, he says that dad is cheering for the Raiders. That's what he's doing right now.
Oh, right.
Yes. That was the well, other those were the bubbles. Yes.
Is dad still recovering from the NASCAR race over at the Coliseum this
I
past
know.
Weekend?
Dad was throwing it down at the NASCAR race at the Coliseum. It was pretty impressive. Yeah. All right. So look, you know what we'll do? We'll ask Kurt Warner. On top of asking him about the Super Bowl, we will ask him for Valentine's Day and romantic advice for you, because you clearly need a lot of it. So
true.
O'Shea, he just ha ha ha'd you. Maybe Kurt Warner will have a better piece of advice for you. So we'll do that. Kurt Warner's going to join us in 2 minutes.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Sedano and Cap here on 710 ESPN. Super Bowl this weekend. Of course, your home of the LA Rams is right here on 710 ESPN, as we have JB Long and Maurice Jones-Drew and DeMarco Farr. We'll have your call. The pregame will be extended very early on in the day with Travis Rogers and Kirk Morrison and company. So it'll be a fun, fun Sunday and a fun week here in LA. And we are joined by a Rams Super Bowl champion, MVP as well, Kurt Warner, joining us now here. Kurt, before we even get into the football stuff, your boy Scott Kaplan has got major issues right now. Let me just explain something to you. Now, you're laughing because you know that.
Surprised, right.
Yeah, he's not at all surprised by any stretch of the imagination. So he apparently did the one thing you can't do when talking to your significant other. He invoked the name of another woman in comparison to her. So, Scott, explain briefly what you did to your girlfriend, Rachel, that somehow involved me and my wife, and now your girlfriend, Rachel, is upset at you.
Kurt, all we were saying was is that you seem to have a very happy life and a very happy marriage and wonderful children, and I was told by my girlfriend, A, you're not romantic, and B, I'm used to it. And it was like a left and a right and a knockout shot. And with Valentine's Day coming up this Monday, the day after the Super Bowl, I was like, I got to find something to do. Kurt, any romance advice for guys who are not romantics?
Oh, man. Nope. You got to channel it. You got to reach out to people, because there are certain times of the year, even if you're not a romantic, where you got to find it. And so I'm kind of with you, is that I'm usually so busy doing 800 million things that I miss those normal mundane opportunities to be romantic and say the right thing to my wife. So I'm always trying to make up for it, you know, on Mother's Day or on Valentine's Day or a birthday or an anniversary, by doing something really cool and extravagant that kind of makes her go, wow. So she doesn't expect it most of the time, kind of like you said, like, oh, I'm used to it. But you got to pull something out here and there. So you got to do your research. Sometimes you got to put a little work into these relationships, Scott.
Yeah. Yeah. I need to create a wow factor. You just nailed it. I need to create a wow factor. I'm going to work on it. I'm going to study film. I'm going to go to practice every day. I'm going to find a way to get it done. Kurt Warner, how excited are you to get back into LA? Cause you've been here every weekend cause you're working at the NFL Network, but the Super Bowl right there, SoFi Stadium, right outside your office down at the NFL Network offices. How pumped are you this week?
I'm pumped. I'm pumped about this week every single year. I mean, this is what the culmination of all that work and all that time, put in is about. And, you know, it's cool to have it in LA. As you said, you know, we've been looking at the stadium as a backdrop for our, you know, for our studio show, you know, for you know, the entire season. And, you know, you never really have the buzz that you want because, you know, the game's going to be playing later, or we know there's going to be a game in there, but you don't have the buzz of the fans around. And that's going to be the cool thing about this week, is that when we do our show on Sunday morning, you're going to have people out there tailgating, having a great time, fans,
And, you know, it is what the Super Bowl should be. And what a great place to have it than, you know, here in L.A. with all the fans there and all the superstars and everything, and culminates our season and culminates what we do. And so I'm excited to be here and excited to get the week started.
Kurt Warner with us here. Kurt, obviously you've been to the, you know, you've played in the game. What kind of an advantage do Sean McVay and that group have having been there before?
Well, I mean, I think having been there, you know, you understand a little bit of what goes into it. You know, my first Super Bowl, I just felt kind of overwhelmed. You know, it was different times. And so I was getting wheeled from one place to another and, you know, doing interviews. And you know, so you were just almost like worn out. Like, what else do I have to do? Like, can I just actually focus on the game and get ready to go? But you were just so exhausted from the mental side of it because, you know, there was just no breaks. And so, you know, once you go through that, the second time around, you go, okay, I can't go in and try to fight this. I got to understand what it is. And, you know, you go in with a different mindset that allows you to appreciate and enjoy the moment more. I think the other advantage they have is that it's at home, is that the one thing we always say going to the Super Bowl is you usually go in, you know, the Monday or Tuesday of the Super Bowl and you're staying in a hotel and your family isn't there. And so it's football, football, football all the time, and you never get a chance to have the normalcy that you would have at home. You know, going to have family dinner with your, you know, with your crew, or you know, taking your kids to, you know, basketball practice or whatever. But it all just breaks up, you know, focusing on football. And so I think that will be a huge advantage as well, is that sleeping at home, being around your kids, the normal mundane stuff that you do on a weekly basis, you'll still have the opportunity to do, and it will really break up, you know, only focusing on football. Because when you're staying in a hotel, it's like, do I want to go out because the fans are there and then I got to sign autographs? But if I stay in, turn on the TV, all they're talking about is the game and what we're going to do and what's going to happen to us and whether we're going to win or lose. And it just, it wears on you throughout a week. So I think they gain an advantage having it as home as well.
Kurt, we're using the word advantage here this afternoon. The Cincinnati offensive line against the Rams defensive line, and we've seen Cincinnati win a playoff game with their quarterback being sacked 9 times in a game. So to me, I look at the line of scrimmage, Rams D-line, Cincy's O-line. That to me is, I think, where the Rams can win this game. What do you say about that?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think, you know, oftentimes in these games, there's a feeling out process, and you don't see a lot of Super Bowls being really high-scoring games, because it takes a while for the quarterbacks to kind of settle in and get a feel for what the other team is doing. And so the trenches always play huge in Super Bowls, especially early in Super Bowls. And, you know, I don't think there's any question that the advantage there goes to the Rams. You know, they got all kinds of guys that can rush the passer. It's one of their strengths against probably the biggest weakness of the Cincinnati Bengals. And how do they counter that? You know, they have an unbelievable scheme, the Rams do, because they have all those pass rushers of putting 5 guys on the line of scrimmage to force one-on-one matchups with everybody. They can move Aaron Donald around. He can be over the center. He can be over a guard. They can move him out on a tackle. So where's your weakness? We'll find your weakness, and we'll put our best player on him. And so they're not going to win this game if Joe Burrow gets sacked anywhere close to 9 times. They're not going to overcome that, I don't believe, again, with this Rams offense and what they're capable of. And so they've got to find a way to neutralize those 5 guys up front for the Rams defensive line. And it's, how do they do that? You know, is it getting the ball out of Joe Burrow's hands quickly? It's something he does really, really well. Empty sets, getting 5 guys out, dealing the football. The screen game, you know, you always want to make the defensive linemen think, oh, man, are they going to throw a screen so I can't rush as fast as I did before? And then take their shots at strategic times, which is really kind of different than how they've played all year. Nobody's got more big play touchdowns than the Bengals. So they're used to getting those big plays, and that'd be how they score, you know, their 30-plus points a game. So it is going to be a real cat and mouse between, you know, how they call the game, how Zach Taylor calls the game, and how they slow down that pass rush, because the game could get out of hand very, very quickly if you can't handle the Rams up front.
And then lastly, with Matthew Stafford, you know, what's got to be going through that guy's mind? I mean, you have a very unique story, as we've all seen and you've discussed with us in the past, you know, as the movie was coming out and all that stuff the last time you joined us. But, you know, that guy, he took a beating, man, for a franchise that just, let's face it, is not very good. And now he must feel like he got out of jail. Like, what would you suggest he do coming into this particular game?
Well, I mean, you know, I think the biggest thing is to understand that he's answered a lot of those questions. And, you know, in the playoffs, he's played tremendous football. In the biggest moments, he's answered the bell time and time again for this team. But I often say that, is that when you get to this moment, you know, people are like, oh, well, the Cincinnati Bengals are playing on, you know, borrowed time and you know, the house is money because nobody expected them to be there. That couldn't be more further from the truth, is that when you get to this point, you're not thinking about anything but winning in this moment and playing good football in this moment. And so as great as Matthew Stafford has played up to this point, you still want to win this moment. And so you've got to find a way to settle in as you have in the other playoff games and play your best football right here, because this is what people are going to remember, whether you're a favorite or you're an underdog. It's what do you do in this moment? So he's got to try to just, you know, everything like you said, it's been an unbelievable year and he's got a great team around him and he's played really well at critical moments. But what do I do in this moment? You want to go out and play your best football. I've played in a lot of these Super Bowls and, you know, there was a time I didn't play my best football and our team didn't play our best football in this moment. And that is still the game that sticks with me more than any other game that I've played in, is what did I do on the biggest stage when I had that opportunity? And so that to me is going to be key for Matthew Stafford. Win or lose is not nearly as important as leaving the field going, you know what, I left it all out there. I played the best game that I could play. And, you know, this is what, you know, this is what, you know, came about because of it. You know, but that to me is the challenge for Matthew Stafford.
Kurt Warner, make sure you check out his work on the NFL Network. And, of course, Super Bowl champion MVP as well, joining us here on Sedano and Cap on 710 ESPN. Kurt, thank you so much for always making time for us. And thank you for telling Scott the truth, that he's just got to find it. He's got to deal with it and figure it out, man.
I'm going to do it. And, Kurt, by the way, congratulations on the film. It was a huge hit. And can't wait to hear the national radio broadcast call with you and Kevin Harlan during the Super Bowl. Congrats on an amazing season.
Appreciate it, guys. Take care. Enjoy the week.
Yeah,
you got
too,
it.
Man.
Take care. There he is, Kurt Warner. All right, so you're going to find the winner within, basically, you know, that he's suggesting? Or no?
I'm telling you, I'm getting a lot of people that are tweeting me saying, dude, you raised the bar. You know, the once-a-week flower thing, it started out as a good move, but then, you know, now you got to take
it's
it up.
It's not a
notch.
Bad thing. Don't let people tell you it's a bad
no,
thing.
No, no, it's not a bad thing.
No,
so O'Shea,
thing. Take it up.
O'Shea has texted me some advice for you.
What
so we'll get
say?
To that, and if you're a Laker fan, you're going to want to listen to the next segment because they've got real insight on what's happening here at this trade deadline, okay? I'm not kidding. Like, I'm being serious. So we'll have that for you next. Oh, yeah. I feel like Cap was definitely, like, on the catwalk to this at one point in his life.
Yeah, and I think that these guys, the Right Said Fred guys, isn't that what the name of the band?
Mm-hmm.
I think, or band, I mean, two guys. I think they were wearing, like, black fishnet, like, see-through-y kind of T-shirts, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
See, that's what I need to do. I need to get some of that. And like Chris says, I need to start walking around with some
Don't
swag.
Don't you dare wear
you know?
A black see-through. Wear it to Radio Row on Thursday, actually. See how that goes over.
And by the way, I'm not breaking up with anybody. I'm saying I may be broken up with. Let's be clear here. Okay? I'm not breaking up with anybody. You know? I'm ready to go to the next level. I think I'm being broken up with is the possibility. I'm going to get myself into huge trouble.
I mean, you are clearly definitely going to get yourself into huge trouble.
Yeah, I'm a dead man.
I actually like, can we hear the Drake version of I'm Too Sexy? I kind of like that one. It was like, I didn't like it at first, and then it got like really catchy, and then I heard it a bunch of times, and then I found myself actually liking it, and then I found myself hating myself for liking it, but then eventually I came to grips with myself and said, no, I just kind of like it. Do we have that one, the Drake version? Okay, yeah, because that one is kind of cool, I feel like, you know?
You know, this Fred that's not cool, huh?
No, the Right Said Fred one is also cool for its era, but you know, I feel like the Drake one is very good. Again, didn't necessarily love it at the beginning, but you know, as time went by, it grew on me. Basically,
it's very catchy; like it'll get stuck in your head.
Yeah, absolutely. So,
Lindsay, I just want to be clear: I don't plan on wearing a black fishnet see-through anything on Radio Row on Thursday.
Just you just said that you're going to get one, so okay.
Yeah,
I mean,
you did
I
say
I
that.
Was, I didn't say that's what I was planning on wearing at the Radio Row.
I mean, well, I know. That's what I suggested, though, because, I mean, hey, if you're going to go bold, you might as well.
Yeah, go big or go home. Yeah.
I'm going to go small and stay home, I think, is what I'm going to do.
Yeah. Let me hear that one, Briones. There you go.
Yeah. Yeah.
Come on now.
Yeah.
There you go, Cap. This, I got the idea for you. Okay? Keep this song going. You walk in with your fishnets for Rachel,
oh my God.
You come into Drake's version of it, and you do the, yeah, yeah, and you come in with, like, a platter of gifts. Whatever, you know, think of whatever it is she likes, from, like, little things to big things, and then you go, boom, and it could be, like, funny romantic.
That's what I need, George. I need funny romantic. Romantic is she was going to say, that's not really you. You've had to try too hard, but funny romantic,
yes.
Goofy romantic,
there you go.
That would be a good thing.
I just solved it for you.
Everyone loves a funny guy.
Yeah, I just solved it for you. You come into this song. Make sure it's blaring on your Alexa, you know, at the right time. And, you know, Drake's version of it. And then you do the surprise. You walk in. You strut into the room.
Time's our show on Monday. Are we on the full 3 hours on Monday? Are we on until 7 o'clock post-Super Bowl? We got, like, post-Super Bowl analysis.
Yeah.
So now I got to think about timing on all of this as well. Mm-hmm. You know, I got to think about what time of the evening I'm going to show up in the fishnet T-shirt and Drake blasting behind me and me going, All right. It's a good idea.
There you go, Cap. I solved it for you. By the way, here's what O'Shea says. I can't help him with Valentine's Day, but something that all men should do throughout the year is no reason flowers. Send your lady some flowers for no reason or at all. On random days, no occasion, just because it's Wednesday, or just so you know I'm thinking about you. Do this and watch the points stack up. Once a week, flowers makes it not as special. It can be predictable. Be spontaneous, Grasshopper.
Hey, O'Shea. That's good advice right there, my man. Thank you so much for that. Yeah. And today's Tuesday, and I don't think I've had flowers for maybe a week or change. So maybe tonight's my night. Maybe tonight I'm going to try and patch things up a little bit.
So, Lakers trade deadline. Yeah. Do you want to ask me some questions? I have some answers.
Okay, I'm going to start with this one.
Yeah.
Are the Lakers going to make any moves of any kind? Because you said right before the break, you've got some real insight. You said, I'm not joking, I'm being serious here. Is there a move to be made?
Possibly, okay? And what I would say is, the reports that are out there about Josh Richardson of the Celtics, there are some validity to it. However, the way that those reports have been framed, to my knowledge, okay, are somewhat inaccurate. Now, the reports I saw were that the Lakers offered Talen Horton-Tucker and a future pick to Boston for Josh Richardson. I heard it the other way, that Boston engaged the Lakers about Josh Richardson, or whatever. It doesn't really matter who engaged who. So let me take that back. The teams engage each other in a conversation. Boston would like Talen Horton-Tucker, and the Lakers are skittish about Talen Horton-Tucker for Josh Richardson. Not to say it won't happen, but to say that that some of the reporting out there that they're like throwing Talen Horton-Tucker at the Celtics for Josh Richardson and a first-round pick or whatever, a future pick, not a first-round pick. I don't feel like the way that was framed is necessarily accurate.
Well, now this is interesting to me because Saturday night when the Lakers wound up eventually beating the Knicks, when they benched Russ, it was THT that came in to play defense.
Mm-hmm.
They know that they've got a young, really good player. Now, I'm not saying he's great. I'm not saying he's going to be a number one. He's not the heir apparent per se, but he's still a young guy. And he's still got an important role on this year's team. So I'm not 100% sure I really want to get rid of THT. So let me keep asking you then.
Okay, hold on. Let me just let people know this portion of the show is presented by Lyman Health Plan, changing healthcare one person at a time.
Okay, so of all these trade rumors and things that you're talking about, and you say, I've got some insight here.
Yeah.
Any possibility of a move to move Russ onto somebody else?
So if I were assigning a percentage to Russell Westbrook being moved, I would say like 1%.
Oh, that's not good.
I'm not completely closing the door on it, but I would say highly unlikely.
Let me ask you this. Based on whoever your source is, does the source feel like the Lakers think they can still become a championship contender by making moves this season?
Possibly. It just depends on what those moves are, right? And also, again, and I'm not attributing this to a source anymore. Like, this is what I think. I told you earlier, like, you know, the chances of the Lakers winning a championship, in my estimation, my personal views here now, this is not, you know, me talking to anybody, are very slim. And I think that I leave the door cracked open a little bit because you still have LeBron James and Anthony Davis. Like, I don't want to completely and summarily dismiss it because of those two. Both, by the way, playing very well right now, now that they're back and healthy on the floor. I just think that the supporting cast around them, as I've stated basically since the eighth game of the season, is an unmitigated mess.
Do you know that LeBron, AD, and Russ, take a guess, unless you know this off the top of your head, do you know how many games the three of them have played together this season?
I want to say it's like 15.
Yeah, you're right. It's 16 games, so you're right there. Do you know what the record of the Lakers is when all three are on the floor at the same time? When, in other words, when all three are dressed and they're all active, they're all playing, they all get minutes, what is the Lakers'
record? Oh, actually,
record?
No. It is, okay, I actually, it's 19 now. It's been updated. It was 10-7, and I'm trying to, let me look at their schedule real quick. Hold on. It was 17 the other day when I saw it, and then I know they played the Knicks when they won. But let me see. Who did they play before the Knicks? Do we remember?
Hold on a second. I have the roster right here.
Oh, they lost to the Clippers. Okay, right. But LeBron didn't play in that game. So they have played 18 games together. Okay. Pardon me. And they are 11-8 or 11-7 in those games.
Okay. So 11-7. It's not like, hey, listen, AD's been hurt for a lot of the year. And, you know, LeBron missed a bunch of games, you know, and so. You know,
I mean, it's still 61%. That's pretty damn good.
No, it's okay. It's all right. So 11-7, but it's not like overwhelming. You're not like, hey, you know, when the three of these guys are playing, they're 15-2.
Yeah, no, but 61% would be the fourth seed in the Western Conference right now.
So therein lies like the ounce of hope.
Right.
Just that number, that these guys have only played a grand total, it's 18 games.
Yes.
They've played 50-some-odd games already this year, and the three of them have only played in 18 together, and when the three of them are together, they have a 600 winning percentage.
Yeah. Now, let's continue this conversation on the other side, because there's also a conversation about LeBron, and he has basically said something about AD that really stuck out to me. We'll tell you what that's all about in a moment. Stick around. We're back in 3 minutes. What you need to know is brought to you by Morongo Casino Resort and Spa. Good times, less than 90 minutes from wherever you are. Is Lindsay doing it today? Lindsay?
Yep, I'm going to do it today.
Okay.
For what you need to know, I'm going to do a quick little update on the U.S. in the Olympics. Because the U.S. is currently in a tie for eighth place with four other countries as far as their medal count goes. They've got five medals so far during the Olympics. U.S. has won a silver medal in the men's Super G race, the women's team figure skating event, the women's snowboard slope style, and the women's mogul. They've also won bronze in the women's sprint free cross-country skiing event. The Russian Olympic Committee leads the way with 10 medals so far in Beijing. So that's what we need to know about the Olympics right now.
Okay, awesome. That is what you need to know.
Let me ask everybody a quick question. Is anybody watching any of the Olympics? I'm just talking about like at night, at home, in bed, you turn on the TV. Is anybody watching any Olympic coverage?
I mean, any? Yes. I've seen probably a combined 40 minutes over the last couple days.
Yeah. I put in some quality time into lugeing over the weekend. I think it was Sunday morning, and that was all I could find. I think it was on USA. I was looking NBC, NBC Sports Network, CNBC, TNT. I was looking around. The only Olympic coverage I could find was lugeing, so I got myself caught up in lugeing, but I haven't really gone deep into anything else yet. So I'm a bad American right now because I'm not supporting. I need to watch and support.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I'm very, like, I'm the type of person that can compartmentalize, right? Like, I can believe that, you know, a lot of the things that go on in China, or pretty much everything that goes on in China, is bad, right? Like, I can believe that, right? I can have my own personal beliefs about China, right, and the way they handle their business in their country. And I can also compartmentalize that and say I support athletes because I work in sports. So I don't know. I think you can have two feelings at the same time. I know that's a very novel concept, apparently, in 2022, mm-hmm. where you can't have more than one feeling.
Really?
You need to be very tribalistic. Mm-hmm. But I do feel like we can have an educated conversation about it.
Tonight, I'm going to try. I'm going to give an honest effort tonight. I'm going to have the Lakers-Bucks game on, and then I'm going to try in earnest to watch some Olympic coverage. Try and get a little bit in tonight.
Okay.
Proud to be an American.
That means you're not going to do it.
So no, I'm going to try. I'm not saying that I'm not. Yeah. I'm just saying I'm going to put
No, I mean,
real
I'm
effort.
Saying you're not. Yeah,
I know, but I'm going to try.
You never really go follow through any of this stuff.
So. No. Last night I tried to fix my Apple TV because we had this whole conversation about why I can't fix my Apple TV.
Yeah.
You don't even understand the frustration of dealing with my Apple TV. TVs.
Still can't get it to work.
Nah, forget. I gave up and I started a new account and I paid for a new account. And I was like, you know what? I don't know how I'll ever cancel the other account, but I want to see some stuff. So. And then I did all the work, and then I wound up going to sleep and didn't watch any of it anyway. It took me a long time. It was a real headache.
So anyway,
yeah.
You
were
real
talking
quick.
About LeBron. You were saying
So you were talking about – you asked me about LeBron, Russell, Westbrook, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I was going to bring up LeBron's comments about Anthony Davis, which I thought were interesting.
Right.
Since we're heading into a Lakers-Bucks game here in a few minutes.
By the way, big game tonight. Because, you know, George, look, with the Super Bowl being in town, and look, Laker games are, under normal circumstances,
big deal. Yes.
Of course, every Laker game's a big deal. Everybody wants to be seen. Who's got courtside seats? How'd they get them? You know, is that really so-and-so sitting there? But tonight, Tuesday night, not only do you have LeBron and the Lakers playing at home, but you've also got the world champions and you've got Giannis in town. So everybody who thinks they're a wannabe player who's in town for the Super Bowl is going to try and work their way into this game tonight. And for everybody that actually does... take a look at me and Sedano up on the video board tonight. And yes, I'm pointing right at you, pal. I'm looking right at you, and I'm pointing right at you, sir. That's right. So anyway, you were saying LeBron, AD.
So LeBron is talking about how AD, how he needs to have the, I guess, hunger, right? Like that he has that hunger again since he's been back. Like, and look, Anthony Davis over the last several games has looked like the Anthony Davis we all expected him to be since the bubble. Mm-hmm. And you know, I it's why I give the Lakers still kind of that one little like glimmer of like, I'm not completely shutting the door just yet. It's because of that. It's because he's playing like that. It's because LeBron's playing at the level he's playing. I just don't trust the guys around them, mainly Russell Westbrook. Because look, I know LeBron said to Dave McMiniman, we shouldn't put it all on Russ or whatever. And LeBron's being a good teammate there. I get it. And I'm not putting it all on Russell Westbrook either. Because it's also, you know, Russell Westbrook is here because he was traded for. Okay. But Russell Westbrook's skills, we can talk about these two things separately. Remember how I just talked about compartmentalizing, like, your feelings for communist regimes and also your feelings for athletes in the Olympics?
By the way, I heard it.
Yeah, you can compartmentalize those things. They don't all need to be one and the same. By the way, I can actually add a third layer to that part of the conversation, which is the IOC is one of the most corrupt organizations we have, not in sports, just in general. But let's move forward here and talk about LeBron and Russell Westbrook and Anthony Davis. If Russell Westbrook, didn't I tell you, remember when Russell Westbrook, he did like a, I think it was with Sam Amick of The Athletic, he did like this piece, and you and I talked about like, the headline that came out of that was him saying, yep, you got to sacrifice, right? Like when you're on a championship level team, you got to sacrifice. And I said, well, if he's willing to sacrifice, he'd probably come off the bench. Because Russell Westbrook is best suited at this stage of his career. I mean, most of his career anyway, but generally, certainly as he's aged, he's better suited having the ball in his hands and having a bunch of guys on the floor that are going to do the dirty work for him, rebound for him, right? Guys that can spot up and shoot around him. So they have the guys that can shoot. They have the guys that can rebound. If you wanted to do this right, I think that Russell Westbrook would be like, hey, I'm going to come off the bench and just play me with like a bench unit of like Dwight and a bunch of shooters, and we'll figure it out, right? And I actually think that could work, at least in some instances. But I don't know how capable he is or willing he is to do all that stuff. Now, he has said the right things about sacrifice and you know, what's most important is winning. But I do think that, you know, his role has to bother him a little bit. Like, my guess is his relationship with Frank Vogel was never probably swimming, probably not going swimmingly to begin with because they didn't have much of a relationship, because they never coached each other, played for each other, etc. But right now, I would imagine that relationship is not great, if yeah, I had to guess.
Listen, George, tonight is a huge game, in my opinion, because if what we're saying that maybe, if AD remains healthy and LeBron remains healthy and they somehow craft the right role for Russell Westbrook, whatever that may be, whether it's not starting, whether it's being a sixth man, whether it's you know, running a second unit, whatever the case may be, okay? Yeah. Tonight's game against the defending world champs, against Giannis, because I can only remember, maybe you can remember otherwise, but have they only played once so far this year, the Lakers and the Bucks?
Yeah, because, they only played twice a year.
Yeah, so it was early in the season. It was like, I mean, before the 20 games. I mean, this is early in the season. And LeBron was out of the game. And if you remember, Giannis that night scored 47 points for Milwaukee. And Anthony Davis that night scored 18 points for the Lakers. And by the way, Russell Westbrook scored 19 points in that game, went 7 for 16 from the field. I don't have this all committed to memory. I'm reading it off my screen. Point being this, we all kind of looked at that and went, wow, Giannis is on fire and unstoppable, and AD needs to step up to that level. If AD is as back and as hungry as LeBron says, tonight he's got to know. Last time they faced each other, he put up 47 points, Giannis. You're home tonight. It's Super Bowl week. There'll be an even bigger buzz inside the crypt tonight. AD got to bring his A game. And if the Lakers can win this game tonight, George, then maybe there is that glimmer of hope that, you know what, they can actually put it together. But if they were to lose this game tonight, especially if they lose bad, I think all hope goes right out the window.
Yes. Yeah. If they lose bad, I think that you don't see them as a championship contender. Like, I think you can eliminate them. I hate speaking in absolutes. So I don't want to do that either because it's just the regular season. But yes, it would look really, really challenging, Scott. Like, yes, it would look really bad. Like, it would look as tough could be. Like, even the most ardent of Lakers supporters and, like, you know, passionate fan would have a hard time making a case for them being a championship-level team. And I don't think that that's unfair. Like, we've had a large sample size here. And even with those guys, it's not like we have a small sample size with those guys playing. Yes, 61% is good, but 61% doesn't necessarily mean you're winning the championship.
Although there still seems to be this opinion out there that this roster was built for the playoffs. This roster was built for a 7-game series. And because of the roster construction that we complain about all day long and the way they've played in their record, there's still this opinion out there. I hear it all the time. But they're built for a series. And I'm like, listen, you keep telling me that, but I'm not buying it. So tonight, LeBron, I know you're driving in right now. You got to go in and get some treatment. You're probably listening to 710. Lindsay, maybe even communicating with me
on
Twitter.
It's 5:00, bro. He's at the arena. What are you talking about?
LeBron, you're in the locker room right now. You have us on your app. I know you like to listen to the show. LeBron, tonight, you, AD, step up time. Got to win this game tonight to give us any hope that this team can do anything.
No, I'm not disagreeing with that. It would go a little ways to have some hope, at least. I'm in agreement with you for sure there. You know, the last time these two teams played in a game like this, Cap, it was right before the pandemic. It was like less than a week before COVID hit.
Oh, wow. Let's see. Where are we? We're in February of 2022.
It was March, going back. First or second week of March in 2019. They played at Staples Center, and LeBron and them whacked Giannis and the Bucks, and we were like, this team can win a championship, and then like 4 days later, COVID hit. And they ended up winning the championship anyway, so we were right. But, yeah, like that was the last time these guys came in here in a big game situation like this where it felt like, hey, this is a big game.
It is. Tonight, is a monster game. Huge game tonight. Again, you got the Super Bowl in town. Everybody's already descended upon downtown LA. You know, people are going to be, you know, however they can get their hands on tickets tonight. Because again, it's LeBron's team at home against the defending world champions with Giannis in town. The biggest stars on display tonight. The Lakers got to find a way. If they can, I mean, I'm not sure they can, to win this game. Giannis, 47 points earlier this season. AD, got to step up huge. Anybody buying what I'm selling here? Oh, the Sedano sigh. Doesn't sound confident at all.
No, it's huge. I'm just sighing because I'm like, man, I don't know if I see this like as a thing, you know? I don't know if it's possible. Like, the Bucks are rolling in here scoring like 140 points a game in their last three games or something like that. It's ridiculous. But we'll see. We'll see. All right, listen, Radio Tinder's coming up next. Everyone's favorite segment. We got that coming up. All right, Linz, what do you got?
All right, so did you guys happen to see that Nelly was trending on Twitter last night?
I did not, no.
No. Nor did I. What's
well, trending he was.
About?
He was, and it's because he accidentally posted an intimate video on his Instagram stories. And then, you know, of course, he quickly deleted it. Nelly later apologized about the video, telling TMZ, quote, "I sincerely apologize to the young lady and her family. This is unwanted publicity for her / them. This was an old video that was private and never meant to go public." So, yeah, I'm not going to get into details about what the video was. I'm sure you can use your imagination. And I don't need details from you guys, but have you ever posted or sent a video that you didn't mean to? Swipe left or swipe right, Cap?
I'm going to swipe right and say no. I've never sent...
So that's be swipe left. Yeah.
Okay, well then in this case, then I'll swipe left. Swipe me left if you don't mind, Jorge, please. I have never, like, accidentally sent a video, especially something like this. No, I have sent emails to the wrong people, like with messages about, I'll give you a quick example. I sent an email one time. I told a friend of mine, like, "Hey, look, we got to get rid of this guy. He's no good. He's a jerk. We got to get rid of him." But I accidentally sent it to the guy that I was talking about, and he sent me back a note, and he was like, "I don't think this was intended for me." And I was like, "You know what? You're right. I didn't mean to send this to you, but now that you see what I'm saying, I mean, this is the deal. You got to go." So yeah, not videos, but, I've definitely screwed up some emails along the way. That's for sure.
Videos? No, not a videos. I mean, I've sent the wrong text to the wrong person before, and it's very, I mean, there's been like maybe one or two where I've been like, "Oh, I meant to send it to someone else," and like, you know, whatever. It hasn't been like anything that's been costly. Like, I haven't like been ripping someone else. It's just someone else that happens to be tangentially related to the person I was trying to text to. But yeah, not like a video. No.
Have you ever received one? Like even a picture? Cause I did recently. It wasn't anything bad, but a PR person from a sports team accidentally sent me a video, and I was like, "Man, you're so lucky that that was not something bad. It was just like an innocent photo." But like, people do that all the time, and you know, could have been way worse.
This seems weird. Like, how would Nelly or whomever is running his account, how would this happen? I mean, something as salacious.
Well, it was on his stories, and I feel like I accidentally like open stuff all the time when I'm just like, I'm like chasing my dog around, I got my phone in my hand, or if I got my phone in my pocket, whatever. I feel like apps and stuff get open all the time, so I feel like it could very easily happen. You don't think so?
Not really.
Well, you're also not good with technology, so I feel like it could totally happen to you, but also I can also understand it not happening to you because you're just, you kind of know you're bad at technology.
I just don't see myself sitting there trying to post on my Instagram story and be like, "Oh, look at this video from this time I was with this girl. Oh my God, I'm going to post this right now." Like, I don't know. I don't, it almost seems kind of like choreographed to me. And by the way, I'm just going by what Lindsay's told me. I didn't see it last night. I didn't know anything about it. I just Googled it and I'm like, "Whoa, okay. All right."
I don't think Nelly needs the publicity, right?
Agreed. All right, next.
All right, so after almost 4 years in the making, the real-life drama Pam and Tommy is out on Hulu. The 8-part series retraces the early days of Pamela Anderson and Tommy Lee and their marriage, and then the tumultuous events that happened after their private sex tape was leaked to the public without their consent. Anderson and Lee haven't been involved in the making of Pam and Tommy, and apparently Pamela Anderson isn't happy about it, but Tommy Lee has called it a, quote, very beautiful story. Are you guys going to watch the Pam and Tommy thing on Hulu? Swipe left or swipe right, Sedano?
I'll swipe right. Eventually, I will get to it. Although you did tell me there was some disturbing Tommy Lee stuff with him having conversations allegedly with his
male body part. Yep.
Groin region. Yes, it was. Seems
he talks.
Ridiculous.
It has a mouth and it talks.
I don't want. We don't need to go any further than that. It's okay. But yeah, like I don't know. I guess I'll watch
it. To it.
It seems it's ridiculous, but whatever. You know.
I'm gonna swipe left. I can say with 99.9% certainty, I will not watch this series. It's got nothing to do with the story because when the tape came out, and when I say tape, I mean VHS tape, guys. You guys remember, dude? I loved that tape. I did. I loved
TMI it. Cap TMI.
What's TMI? I mean, I liked it. It was.
I loved
it was
that tape.
It was great. It was awesome. I mean, Pamela Anderson at the time was like the hottest thing going in America. And Tommy Lee, you know, he had tats all over him. They're on the boat. I mean, it was hot, really hot. So I saw the real thing. I don't know if I need to see the docuseries, you know?
It's actually really interesting. And Seth Rogen, I watched the first two episodes because I think that's all that was out when I checked it out over the weekend. Mm-hmm. And, like, Seth Rogen plays the guy who stole the sex tape, who, like, worked for Tommy Lee as a contractor.
How did that happen? How did this person?
Well, how about you watch the damn thing?
Say, you just got to watch it. He's really he's really good in it. And it's actually quite interesting. And I thought it was really good. So far, so good, except for the part where he talks to his
I also want to watch the one about the Tinder swindler or whatever.
Oh, I watched that.
Yeah. I do want to watch that. That looks interesting to me. It's basically a guy who, like, defrauds a bunch of women on Tinder. So my wife just poked her head in and gave me the thumbs up. It's so good. Apparently she's watching it. So
Well, Kelly, that guy, after it came out, I guess, like, all the dating apps have now, like, completely banned him and any alias he's ever used from using their apps anymore.
He kept, he lied to people. He was, like, some sort of billionaire or whatever. Anyway, you should watch it. It's just a documentary.
What's that one on?
He literally just said what it was about.
No. What's it on? You said
Netflix.
Pam and Tommy is Hulu. Netflix. This is Netflix.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
All right.
He
one more here.
Didn't say that.
Yeah.
Okay. I thought you said what is it like? What is it about?
Yeah. Wow. Look at you snapping back at Lindsay.
I know. Well, she's so snappy towards me all the time. You know.
No wonder Rachel.
No, I'm not.
Yes, you are. Yeah, you
no
are.
Wonder Rachel takes shots
all right,
at you.
Really quick. I sent you guys this link earlier. So with the Super Bowl coming up, Miller Lite announced their Meta Light bar in the metaverse, as reported today by Sedano's good friend Darren Rovell. The
good
bar
friend.
Is going to be located in the virtual world platform Decentraland. It says it's going to look like a classic tavern and offer an immersive communal experience with virtual pilsners and interactive features, including darts, billiards, and a stage. So it's just like an actual bar, and people actually have to be 21 to enter. Are you guys going to attend the Meta Light bar in the metaverse? Cap?
I'm going to swipe left and say no. I'm going to go to a real bar, drink a real beer, be around real people.
Okay.
No, I'm going to swipe left too. I mean, I hope a lot of people do go because I have an investment in Decentraland, but outside of that, I don't really care. So, and I love the metaverse as a concept. So,
what did you say you have an investment in what?
Decentraland, which is the forget it, dude. The platform they're using. It's okay. Just next. Oh, we're done? All right, we're done.
I want more on this whole investment on Decentraland or whatever.
Yeah, Decentraland, yeah. All right, you go worry about what you're going to do with your Valentine situation.
Right.
You got a couple days to plan
work
that
on that, yeah.
All right, so Sliwa, Michael are going to come up next with the Lakers pregame for the Lakers Bucks. Great job, Kaplan. Great job, Jorge. In for Laura today, and of course, great job, Lindsay. We will talk to you mañana. See ya.
We also have the giveaway today.
Oh, we do. That's right. We got a giveaway. Caller number 7 right now wins tickets to our concert event, right? What is the concert event?
It's the
Super Bowl Music Fest, yeah.
Yep, yeah. Super Bowl Music Fest with Blake Shelton, Gwen Stefani, and Mickey Guyton this Friday.
Okay, there you go. The Bud Light Super Bowl Music Fest at Crypto.com Arena, Friday, February 11th. Caller 7, 877-710-ESPN wins that. Good luck.